10% by plane, and the other 10% or so will take a train or bus. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Today, a little bit different start there because of the subject that we're going to be talking about on the program today. We're going to be talking about our young people, our children, and specifically, how is it that we convey to them the doctrines that we find throughout the scriptures? And so that's the topic that we're going to be discussing today. First of all, let me say it's great to be back with you. I was out of the studio all last week up in New York. And so I just appreciate some of the emails and comments that I received from some of the folks that listen to the radio program on a regular basis. On today's program, we're going to be discussing a book that equips parents to guide their young children through all the major doctrines in an understandable chapter-a-day format. You know, some people say, well, sure, it's easy to teach your children some of the essentials of the Christian faith, but when you're a theology professor, but what about the rest of us? You know, how does everybody else supposed to do this? Well, I'm glad to let you know today that there's a new book out that will give you a tremendous amount of help in doing this. The title of the book is called Big Truths for Young Hearts, and the subtitle is Teaching and Learning the Greatness of God. Let me just read to you a section here. This is written by the publisher, and it says here that the book covers 10 topics on systematic theology, devoting several brief chapters to each subject, making it possible for parents to read one chapter per day with their children. With this non-intimidating format, parents will be emboldened to be their children's primary faith trainers and perhaps learn a few things themselves along the way. And so on the program today, my very special guest is Dr. Bruce Ware. He's the Senior Associate Dean and Professor of Christian Theology at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And Dr. Ware, it's a pleasure to have you on the radio program today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a delight to be with you.
I wanted to mention to the listeners right at the top of the broadcast, since I think that this is a subject that will be very interesting to them. I get a lot of feedback about the radio program, but probably just off the top of my head, this is not a scientific poll or anything, off the top of my head, one of the subjects that certainly people write about most often is how do we take the doctrinal subjects that you talk about on this program. How do we take those and how do we teach them to our children? And so I want to let our listeners know a couple things. One, they can participate in the program today. And to do that, they can simply call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And I also want to let them know that I will be giving away some books today for those that participate in the program. So if you want a copy of this book, parents and grandparents out there, church staff, you know, if you're looking for a good resource book to give to the parents in your congregation, this is going to be the one for you as we go through our conversation today. Dr. Ware, let me ask you first and foremost. I know that your daughters wrote the introduction to the book here, the foreword to it. And in the foreword, obviously, I can see that they say this is something you exhibited in your life, teaching them doctrine. Including that, what was the major reason that a seminary professor like yourself decides to write a book in order to make doctrine easily understandable for children?
Well, Kevin, I just would like to say that these doctrines that I have written about in this book and taught to my own children as they grew up are the very things that have shaped my life. I cannot even begin to express the depth of my gratitude to God for his allowing me the privilege of seeing these glorious truths and embracing them, and through that, having my life and character. Of course, we have a long ways to go, mm-hmm. but in the process of being shaped by God through these truths and not apart from them, I honestly cannot even comprehend the comment that I sometimes hear that theology is not practical.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It is so far from the truth. Yeah. I mean, theology is what actually gives to us our worldview, our vision of who God is, why we would trust him, how we trust him, who we are before him, how we are to live in light of his greatness and his grace, our dependence upon him day by day, what we do when we sin, how do we approach him, and what the meaning of the cross is to life, and, you know, on and on. This is theology, and this is what ought to shape Christians' lives. And so, you know, for my own life, I can't imagine not thinking through these doctrines and embracing them. I couldn't imagine raising my children and not praying that God would help me to be a vehicle, a mechanism of his bringing these same great truths into their lives, and now through this book have the privilege of possibly helping some other parents do that with their children.
You know, I just was in a conversation just the other day. It was at a wedding reception, and somebody at the table, we got talking, and the young lady at the table and her husband were sitting there, and she said to me, she said, what is the one of the most important truths that you try to focus on in the ministry, in your ministry? And I thought just for a brief second, and I said, the truth that I try to focus on is that change takes place in the Christian life via the Word of God, via knowing the doctrines in the Word of God, and then understanding those and studying them out in Scripture, applying them to our life, and then living them out. That I said, unfortunately, in the church today, it seems that people understand the idea of the authority of Scripture. They'll sign the creed and say yes to the idea of inspiration and verbal inspiration and these things. But I said it's the sufficiency of Scripture that seems to be lacking today. In other words, that when a problem comes up in their life, they don't immediately go to the great doctrinal truths that we have in the Scriptures and glean from them the strength that they need to go through those issues. Is that what, would that be along the same line of what you were just describing?
Yes, absolutely. It would, Kevin. I would only add to that it's through those truths that we actually get to know who God is and his purposes and his ways. So it's not abstract truths per se. It's truth of a person, truth of this God who is so glorious and great and mighty and independent, who has chosen to create a world he didn't need to make, and demonstrate in this world the greatness of his own nature, his beauty and wisdom, and then create human beings in his image that he even sought out after we had turned away from him,
mm-hmm.
and wants to bring back to himself to be in relationship with him through Christ and transform us to be like him. So it's sort of like the truths you would read in a love letter.
Mm-hmm.
The love letter contains truths about the person and so on, but they're not abstract. They're helping you understand who she is, who he is, what their heartbeat is, what they love and hate. And so this is really God's intention through his word is to use it to draw us to himself and conform us to his likeness.
Well, what a glorious thing for sure. We have to take a very quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want to drill down on that just a little bit, because what a glorious thing that we take for granted, the self-revelation of God in his creation and in his word. We'll talk about that as soon as we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Journey of a narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly love.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor garden lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
The easiest way to teach math is money. In this day of credit cards, too few children handle real money. To teach your child the basics of adding and subtracting, just give a few coins at the checkout counter and say, "Buy me some gum, please." Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Telling me that I can never be what I wanna be.
welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Of course, we're playing music today that all deals with the idea of children and the idea of teaching children, the idea of passing our faith along to them and teaching them the important doctrines that we find in the scriptures. And we're doing so with our very special guest today, Dr. Bruce Ware. We're going to get back to that conversation in just a minute. I just want to give you a brief heads up, a little bit of a program note on a couple of different broadcasts. First, I wanted to say that I apologize for last week. I had a interview scheduled with Dr. Gordon was going to be with me to talk about why Johnny can't preach. I was looking forward to that interview, but I had a family emergency and wasn't able to make it here. I was actually out of state for the entire week, and so good to be back home. But we've rescheduled that broadcast for June, and so Dr. Gordon will be with me in June. Also, a couple other broadcasts. Dr. Albert Moeller will be with me again first couple weeks in June, it looks like, as well. And Rick Phillips is with me on Thursday this week. We're going to be talking about a book that he is the general editor of called Precious Blood. So we'll be looking at the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So just to give you a little bit of a heads up. By the way, you can join the conversation today. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And with your question or comment today, we'll be glad to make sure that you get a copy of Bruce Ware's latest book called Big Truths for Young Hearts, Teaching and Learning the Greatness of God. That's put out by Crossway Books. Let me read to you one of the endorsements off the back of the book. Just had a number of different folks that commented on this. I enjoyed this one from David Michael. David Michael is the pastor for parenting and family discipleship at Bethlehem Baptist Church. You know Bethlehem Baptist Church is the ministry of Dr. John Piper. And so let me read this comment here. It says this: I cannot help but see the gift this is to Christian parents and to dads in particular who are charged with the spiritual instruction of their children. Take this beautifully written, Bible-saturated, God-centered, theologically comprehensive summary of the truth and teach it diligently to your children. And until your children leave your home, talk of it when you sit with them in your house and when you walk with them in the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. It doesn't mention it there, but obviously quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so that's what this book is good for, to teach your children the wonderful truths and glorious doctrines that we find in the Scripture. Dr. Ware, just before we went to break, you and I were talking about some of these glorious doctrines, and I wholeheartedly agree. In fact, in our congregation, we talk about the methodology that we use is we go from doctrine to deeds. Unfortunately, though, today, people kind of skip over the doctrine and go directly to the deeds. What would be the problem with doing that?
Oh, my. Well, in a word, moralism. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you end up with is not the Christian faith lived out, but actually a very subtle form of works righteousness.
Yes.
Whereby we have it in us to make the changes and to do the to-do list that Pastor so-and-so tells us we ought to do. I mean, this is one of the big problems with preaching that rushes to application way too quickly. Mm-hmm. And it gives people the impression that they can do it on their own. And, of course, this is exactly contrary to the gospel. Jesus himself said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. And, of course, he meant by that nothing of eternal value, nothing that would bring God's approval. And so we need to have the gospel clearly in mind, that we are needy creatures, sinful, and deserving of condemnation, but God in his mercy has come to us in his Son, provided not only forgiveness of all of our sin through the death of Christ, but also new life through the resurrected Jesus, new life in Christ that is empowered by the Spirit for us to live the new transformed lives that God called us to. But all those truths that relate to who God is, who Christ is, who we are as creatures and then as sinners and then saved by grace, all that is the background for understanding the imperatives of the New Testament, the to-do list that we are to carry out.
Amen. I was thinking, even on the way into the broadcast today, I don't know why my attention was turned to this, but years ago we did a broadcast called How to Raise the Pharisee.
Uh-huh.
And we used an article that had been written along that line, but basically it was describing just what you were describing, to look for good works to flow that are good works disconnected from the teachings that we
yeah.
find in the scriptures,
yeah.
which, as you said there, ends up being moral.
That's right.
Mm.
You know, an interesting place where this is showing itself today, oddly enough, is in the emergent church,
mm.
because they really don't have a doctrine of the atonement. They don't have a high view of God. And so what are we to do? We're to be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at Jesus and be like him. Well, I mean, that's a half-truth that on its own is a horrible lie and deception. We can't be like Jesus
mm-hmm.
on our own. We need to acknowledge our total bankruptcy, our sinfulness, our deserved condemnation, and the grace of God to do in us what we cannot do ourselves.
Amen. You know, the phrase became very popular, of course, what would Jesus do?
Yes.
And there's certainly some truth and some power to the example of Christ. We're not denying that.
No,
but the real
right.
power comes from what has Jesus done?
Right.
Right? And so
right.
flowing from that understanding of that and an experiential knowledge of it, actually having a part in that by faith
right.
in Christ, that enables us to be able to do this glorious work. I was just reading last night. I had heard somebody use this phrase again recently, and I was looking up a few things about it. But the third use of the law, and the third use of the law being this idea of that the scriptures, and especially the Ten Commandments, are still useful for the believer in order to guide them in what we should do. But we don't just look at the law apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit being able to guide us. It's with that empowerment, then the law
yeah.
is able to give us guardrails as to how we should then live out this life with Christ. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely right, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about this, a couple of the chapters here. You picked 10 different subjects to write about. The very first one, let's give the listener a little bit of a flavor for what they would find in each one of these chapter headings or under each one of these chapter headings. The first one is about God's Word, and it's titled God's Word and God's Own Life as God. Explain to our listeners, if you would, what they'll find in that chapter and why you felt that was so important to put as the first chapter in the book.
Right. Well, that first chapter covers really two major, my goodness, huge areas that are foundational to our Christian faith. One is that God is a talking God. That's the first thing we learn about God in Genesis 1, is that he talks. Then God said, let there be light. Then God said. And isn't it amazing that God has communicated to us who he is?
Mm.
If he had not done that, in one of the chapters I talk about how frustrating it is when someone is keeping a secret from us.
Yes.
You know, every kid can relate to that. They want to know what the secret is. Well, just think if God had kept himself a secret and hadn't told us who he is. But he has told us. Oh, my, what a glorious thing it is that God has made himself known. So the beginning part of that chapter focuses upon how God has made himself known in the created order, and in particular in Scripture, which is the authority that we have for knowing truth about God and about life. And then the rest of the chapter focuses on what God has told us about himself, his greatness. He is God apart from us in the fullness of who he is as God, and he is God as he is with us, as he has come to live with us and to share his life with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really is the focus of that first chapter, is on the fact that God has revealed himself mm-hmm. and some fundamental truths about who he is.
That is so important, and I'm so glad with the beginning of the book being right there, because A lot of our listeners may not even know this, but like in Islam, you know, God is so transcendent that he wouldn't dare to have any interaction with anybody in this world. The idea of us calling him Father or thinking of ourselves as being the sons and daughters of God, you know, this is just, of course, heretical to them. But yet this is exactly what we find in the scriptures. He is transcendent. He is above us, and his ways are not our ways. But he has revealed himself to us. And this is such a glorious truth. He has revealed himself to us, especially in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can know him. In fact, we must know him, at least what he's revealed to us about himself. We must know him in order to be saved. We'll talk about this some more when we come back from the next break here. You're listening to Knowing the Truth, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Stocks among the hottest hits.
In tough economic times, Christians tend to give less money to ministries. But let's take a look at giving by Christians during the Great Depression. The percentage of Christians who gave to ministries during the Great Depression was 21% more than Christians give today. They were committed to ministry. But we found that our listeners have that same rugged mentality as those Dust Bowl believers. And we want to thank you for your bold financial commitment to our ministries. Tell your friends about Christian Talk 660.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Emmerich of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
We all spend too much time in the car, right? How about making the back seat a quick study hall? Jason, what's the capital of Utah? Kyla, what's 6 times 9? A few minutes here and there really add up, and short reviews are actually better than hours of study. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy D's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Where theology, pop culture, and current events all come together. Cutting edge topics.
How can you ask someone to believe in God when they don't even believe in themselves? And a lot of life.
You are a perfect example of somebody who has basically bought into the worldly philosophies that are out there.
Stu Epperson here, host of Truth Talk Live, inviting you to join me weekdays at 5 right here on Christian Talk 660.
Imagine this, I get a phone call from Regis. He says, do you want to be a millionaire? They put me on the show and I win with 2 lifelines to spare. And I picture this, I act like nothing ever happened. They bury all the money in a coffee can. But I've been given more than Regis ever gave away. I was a dead man who was called to come out of my grave. But I think it's time for making some noise. Awake the neighbors. Get the word out. Come on, crank up the music. Climb a mountain and down. This is life we've been given. Faith to be lived out. So la 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 la, live out loud.
Boy, that one brings back a few memories. That was the title of a radio program that I hosted for a number of years called Live Out Loud. And the idea there was is that we're talking about doctrine, we're talking about great theology, we're talking about teaching these things to our children. But listen, you can't just teach them to your children if you haven't experienced them yourself. These things have to be lived out in our own life, and this will speak volumes to our children than when we speak to them about theology. You know, in the foreword of the book that we're considering today, Big Truths for Young Hearts, written by Dr. Bruce Ware, his daughters, Bethany and Rachel, write the foreword to it, and they write this in the foreword. Dad really believes the things that are in this book. His theology shapes the way he lives, and we have seen this many times. In confronting theological challenges of his day, Dad has displayed uncompromising commitment to God's word. During hard times, he has trusted God and said, along with Job, quote, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When praised for his gifts, he has had a humble attitude, consistently focusing attention on the source of every good gift. He is generous with his time and his money, faithful in evangelism, untiring in teaching, and devoted to his family. Well, what a legacy. What a wonderful statement to hear from the lips of your own daughter. I'm sure that was a thrill to your soul, Dr. Ware. Before we continue our conversation, let's go to the phone line. We've got Linda from Greenville up first. Linda, welcome into the program today.
Thank you. And what a wonderful way to start that book. That God doesn't keep anything secret. He is totally transparent to us. What a wonderful first chapter.
That's right, isn't it?
Oh, yes, because, you know, the scripture says my sheep can hear my voice.
Yes.
And we can hear God's voice. Usually when he speaks to me, it is in scripture.
Sure.
And that way I can be sure that it's his voice. But we can know his voice. And the other thing, in three practical applications, number one, my husband used to tell my children stories every night before he would make these up. And they all had spiritual applications. The second is I went into a fast food restaurant several years ago, and a man came in with his young son and had his Bible. And they sat down in the fast food restaurant, and the man did a Bible study for his son. The other thing, my son called me a few days ago, and he said, "Mom, I had the kids in the car, and they're 2 and 4. And I said, Daniel, Andrea, what is love?" And the answers that they came back with, the little girl, the 2-year-old, she's pretty much still mimicking her brother. But the 4-year-old said, "Well, Dad, I guess it is that we do good things for people and we don't do bad things to people." And you being a theologian, I'm sure you know the scripture that says when a father teaches his children, as you walk in the way, wherever you are, practical, and I bet you know this scripture.
It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, and also a comparative scripture would also be Psalm 78 as well.
There you go. I knew you would know it. But isn't that a privilege?
Yes.
That wherever we are, we can teach our children according to whatever the situation is, we can teach our children as we go.
Exactly. Boy, that's a wonderful comment, Linda, and it is a privilege. God has loaned our children to us, and not only has he saved our soul, you know, but with the blood of Christ and the entire work of redemption, but then added on top of that, all the other benefits that we enjoy as Christians, he's given us this privilege of being able to share our faith, and especially the privilege of being able to share our faith with our family and our children. And so what a wonderful blessing God has given to us.
Yes, a heritage and arrows in our quiver.
Exactly. That's right.
Thank you so much.
Linda, send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. And I'll send you a copy of Dr. Bruce Ware's book. Just send me that with your mailing address, and I'll get it right out to you.
Well, I'm an old lady, and I don't do all that email stuff.
All right. Well, I've got your phone number. I'll call you that and get your mailing address.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate your program.
Thank you, Linda. Thank
Bye.
You for your comments. Well, it certainly is a privilege. Dr. Ware, just before the break, we were talking about this opening section of your book. You launch into, if that isn't a glorious topic in and of itself, just God revealing himself to us in both creation, general revelation, and also the special revelation of his word. In the second chapter, then, you launch into a study about God, the Trinity. Explain for our listening audience the types of things that you cover in that chapter.
Yes, Kevin. Well, you know, it's amazing that God, you know, sometimes we shy away from the doctrine of the Trinity because it's complicated, and indeed it is. But it is amazing to me that God made it so clear, especially when we come to the New Testament, that he wants to be known as Father, Son, and Spirit. And I fear that as Christian people, we can sort of devolve into almost a Unitarianism, because we don't understand the importance of thinking of God as Father, Son, and Spirit. So what I try to do in that chapter is really go through Scripture and talk about who the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Spirit is, and each of those three persons, that even though they are identical in their essence, they are the same God, they have the same being, they have functions and roles that are very different from one another, and Scripture is clear on this. Mm-hmm. And so I try to explain what those roles are and then show some of the ways in which that's relevant for the way we live. Even in the way God created men and women, mm-hmm. He created them equal in essence, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal in their own nature, and yet he created men and women with distinctive roles. Mm. And he didn't make us identical. He made us different, even though we have common human natures. And so there is a tremendous series of applications that come to the way we should live as human beings that are extensions of the doctrine of the Trinity.
You use a very interesting analogy in order to try to convey to young people the concepts associated with the Trinity. And I should say these concepts are not only difficult for children, but they're difficult for adults as well, of course.
Right.
In fact, I remember one person said that if you try to fully comprehend the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. But if you don't understand the Trinity, you'll lose your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously we convey what the Scripture teaches us about the Trinity, but the analogy you use is one of the best I've heard of. You talk about the difference between singing in unison and singing in harmony, and
right.
just how when somebody, the beauty of harmony that's there, and yet you don't lose any of the distinctiveness of each one of the persons that are participating in that harmony. It's a very good illustration.
Thank you. Yes, I that is a helpful one, because we realize that they work together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are never at odds with each other,
mm-hmm.
always fulfilling the same common work, but each of them contributing distinctively to that work.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is much more like harmony than it is like unison.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I just thought you do a wonderful job there of spelling out the distinctiveness of the Trinity, that each one, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and then bringing that all together, even though each one of them are uniquely God in their own person, together they make up the Trinity and are in complete unison as well. So it's just,
right.
it's wonderful the way you put it there. The third chapter deals with the idea of, if I could use the theological term for what I see that you've written about here, the sovereignty of God is and the supremacy of God, that he rules in this world, that he is the creator and ruler of this world, and you emphasize that in the third point.
Right, yes. You know, that's one thing about this book that perhaps is different from some other children's books that have been done, is that I really do not shy away from any of the critical doctrines of the faith, the doctrine of the Trinity.
Amen.
I think it's really important for kids to grow up understanding Father, Son, and Spirit. And I think it's really important for kids to grow up understanding God as creator and ruler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that isn't clear in the Bible, what is? And so I try to help parents guide their children through a discussion of what it means for God to be providential ruler over good and over evil. And so I have a chapter devoted to the problem of evil, how God is in control of all things bad that happen in this world, even though he himself is wholly good, yet he controls everything that is bad. And, of course, that gives us tremendous confidence and strength to know in suffering that God's wise and good purposes stand behind this. It's not something that throws God for a loop, and it shouldn't throw us for a loop, because we realize God is designing this for good and wise purposes.
Well, I am
how
so
strengthening
glad.
That is I'm, to learn that.
Amen. Sorry for interrupting there,
that's
but
fine.
I am so glad that that's the way that you wrote this book, because I think that it is so needed. You know, we're hearing these statistics today that when the children get older and they end up going to college or, you know, going away for some reason, work or college, you know, as they get upper teen years, that, you know, then they're leaving the faith. Quote unquote. And part of the reason is I think that we have not taught them the scriptures the way that we should teach them the scriptures. In fact, when you were mentioning the idea that other books don't do this, I was thinking of Brett and Alex Harris's book, Do Hard Things, which is a rebellion against low teenage expectations. I think they can grasp these concepts, and I'm certainly thrilled that you've included them in your book here as well. I think it's very, very important. We'll talk more about it when we come back from our final break. That means you'll have about 10 minutes to be able to call in when we come back. 1-888-660-WLFJ.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way.
It's the biggest one-day drop ever.
We live in times of financial insecurity.
The financial crisis, meanwhile, continued to spread.
But no matter what you're facing, you don't have to face it alone. We're a radio station made of real people with real-life struggles just like you. We're here because we've found security in tough times. We offer teaching and talk to point people toward eternal strength found only in God. And it's your support of our ministries that gives people this good news in insecure times. Thanks for telling your friends about Christian Talk 660.
My friend Andrea is a mother of a child with very severe autism, and it is not easy. Hi, this is Johnny Erickson Tata, and Andrea loves her little guy, but sometimes she tells me she feels so very alone. It means the world when Andrea can get together with other mothers who, well, they can just unload and share each other's burdens. Well, Andrea did not sit around feeling sorry for herself for very long, no. She decided to create an autism blog for mothers so that a national network could get started. And I tell you, that blog is full of encouragement, just like it tells us in Hebrews to encourage one another daily. So if you know of a mother who's raising a child with autism, tell them to check out our autism resource list at johnnyandfriends.org. Believe me, you'll be doing your friend a great favor. Do the Hebrews thing and encourage somebody else by checking out our autism resource list. And look for Andrea's blog, would you, at johnnyandfriends.org.
Everyone knows a family that's hurting from the influences of our increasingly godless American culture. Serving Hurting Families is a brand new program designed to help parents navigate the waters of the tumultuous preteen and teen years. Hi, my name is Trace Embry, the director of Shepherd's Hill Farm. Join me Thursday afternoons at 12:30 as we talk about the issues families struggle with today. Together, we'll look to the Bible for hope. Serving Hurting Families will also be heard on Saturday mornings at 11 here on Christian Talk 660. I look forward to talking with you.
That ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow.
It's a slow. Well, welcome back into the final segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We're talking with Dr. Bruce Ware about his latest book, Big Truths for Young Hearts, Teaching and Learning the Greatness of God. They make a statement in the book, I can't remember if it was in one of the introductions or what was put out by the publisher, which is Crossway Books, www.crossway.org, or if it was Dr. Ware himself. But anyways, along the line, it says that as you're teaching these to your children, you may pick up a few things yourself. And I think that that's certainly true. It's good to pore over these truths again and again. In fact, Nancy Lee DeMoss, one of the people that has endorsed the book, of course, she's an author herself and the host of Revive Our Hearts radio broadcast. She says this in the back of the book. It says, the church today must be intentional in passing on to the next generation the core and precious beliefs on which our Christian faith rests. Big Truth for Young Hearts is a rich resource for parents, teachers, and others who care about helping the next generation know and love God and His ways. In addition to being a theology course for children and young people, it is also a great refresher course for adults. And so in all of those ways, this book is tremendously helpful. I wholeheartedly recommend it. I think that this would be a great resource in every home. And also in the church as well. Dr. Ware, just before the break, we were talking about a number of these different sections that you have written, these chapters. I should tell our listening audience there's 10 altogether. And Dr. Ware even goes into the discussion of eschatology in the book. He said he didn't leave out any of the tough issues, and he doesn't leave out the subject of eschatology as well. Was that a little bit done with a little bit of fear and trepidation, sir?
Well, not any more than so much of the rest of the book, to be honest with you, Kevin, because I realized all the way through I was dealing with difficult areas and trying to make it as simple as I could, the sort of thing I did with my own two girls as they grew up and I spent time with them. And eschatology, of course, is the last area covered in the whole range of systematic theology, which is what I teach for a living. And so actually this book is just it's the order of the topics I teach at the seminary. And just presented in a simpler format. But I didn't want to leave this out to talk about these glorious truths at the end of history of God bringing all things to consummation through Christ and reigning over the nations, both in saving all that he has chosen to be saved and in bringing judgment against all who will stand against him in the end. And then the final judgment that will come to all of us and result in the eternal destinies of all people, either in heaven, in eternal joy with God, or in hell, a place of everlasting torment. And it's very important to know this is true. This is not some myth or fairy tale. This is absolutely true.
Yes.
And because it is true, it's one of the most important things that we can know as God's people.
Amen. I was alluding, tongue in cheek to just all of the squabbles that have gone on, over the interpretation of end times. But I love the way that you do it here in this book, and this is the exact same way that I like to teach about the Book of Revelation as well. That, what does it tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ? For one thing, it tells us that He is risen, that we serve a risen Savior. We're not involved in some dead religion, but rather a relationship with a risen Savior. And then also He is ruling, that He's ruling right now, and this is very clear throughout the Book of Revelation. And then finally, that He is returning.
Uh-huh.
And you title it, got a great title here for the first part of the last chapter. It says, "Knowing the future helps the present."
Right.
And so, the Book of the Revelation was written to people that were going through a tremendous amount of suffering, and it enabled them and emboldened them to speak the truth and to stand for the things of Christ because of what it says there. Is that what you were trying to convey?
Absolutely. A couple things in particular. One, we know God is the winner.
Amen.
isn't it so great to know we're not in a game, as it were, where the outcome is yet to be decided.
Mm-hmm.
We know God is victor in the end, and we're on His side through faith in Christ. What tremendous strength that gives to us. And then also to realize that because we have that confidence that God will win and triumph over all evil in the end, we can endure anything and everything that He calls us to here and now, because we know that His purpose is in it. We know where this is leading. And this is the message of the New Testament to the persecuted church, is to endure to the end with the confidence that you will be with Christ forever.
Amen. It is a victorious gospel, as you mentioned there, and Christ is triumphant and glorious truths that, as you say, as we meditate upon these things, they enable us to be able to go through any sort of difficulty that comes about in this life at all.
Right.
Well, Dr. Ware, thank you very much for taking the time out. We won't have time to go through any more of the chapters here today, but as you mentioned, of course, you're teaching theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and we just thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Well, you're very welcome, Kevin. Thank you for having me. And I just want to encourage readers who are parents to really take to heart the Bible's charge to all of us parents, and that is to raise those children in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that means to train them in the truths of the faith.
Amen.
And it's a great joy to do it, but it is a responsibility that we have to take seriously.
Amen. That's an excellent final word of admonition to myself and the rest of the listening audience. We really appreciate that. If you would just hang on the line for just a moment, just want to talk to you off air for a quick second as we close out the broadcast. Let me tell the listening audience we've been speaking with Dr. Bruce Ware about his latest book, Big Truths for Young Hearts, Teaching and Learning the Greatness of God. It's put out by Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. And so you can go out there in order to get your copy. We'll see you again Thursday. We'll be speaking on Thursday with Rick Phillips about the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll see you then.
opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Christian Talk 660 is WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson. Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia.